Coming down in a three, a two, and one.
Welcome everyone to the Miles Bro. Oh, I think I fucked that up. The Miles
Leave
Bro
it in.
podcast.
Leave
That's
it in.
Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, The Rock has come back home.
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hot Time!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to
Welcome everybody to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty had a mild grabber, so here I am, Monday Night Mike, of course, joined by UK Tom and the still very banned Scotty Villa.
Oh, this is... I'm not fucking banned! I didn't do anything!
Banned.
You did, you fucked up the intro.
Oh yeah, I did do that, but I haven't mentioned Sami Zayn in like 2 weeks.
Good, you just did, so...
Fuck, I see we're on one already, are we, boys? All right, sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good. How's everybody doing? Everyone fired up on a lovely whatever day you're listening of the to this week?
Yeah, it's yeah.
Sweet Christ, what is happening?
Oh, just it's a stroke in progress. I'm sure it's that.
I thought that was after the show.
Well, yeah, it is. We gotta wrap this up real quick. Clean towels and all. my goodness, guys, it's been I say this every week, but this past weekend was a very big pro wrestling week in the pro wrestling world. We had NXT's Halloween Havoc, we had TNA's Bound for Glory. Top just died over there. I fucking love it. I'm sure there was probably 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 GCW shows, but yeah, it was a busy weekend for, I don't hate to do this, but I think TNA's fine here being like a B-level type of weekend for B-level style shows that with NXT and TNA. So I've heard a lot about them. I've seen a lot of clips on the old Twitter machine, but UK Tom really got into them this weekend, and Mike and I are very curious to hear Tom's thoughts. Halloween Havoc was Saturday, right?
Halloween Havoc was Sunday. Bound for Glory it was Saturday.
Okay, well, let's start with Bound for Glory. This is TNA's WrestleMania, correct?
It's their WrestleMania, and it was one hell of a show.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh.
And you put money down for this. You paid
I did.
For
I, this. I opened my wallet, and there was all sorts of things came flying out of there. I never do that. It was a hell of a show. I was real surprised. There were some matches on the pre-show, which I won't go into, but they were fine. The opener was Mike Bailey and Vikingo, which I did not think would open the show because, well, those two talents are really hard to follow.
Yeah, right. But it's also a hell of a way to start the show.
Yes.
They had an absolute banger of a match. It was fantastic. They got the crowd going. Really good size crowd for TNA, too. I think they had just over or just under 3,000 people.
Good on them.
So, oh, good. Twice as much as AEW. So, that was good. We then had a tag team match for the women's knockout titles, which I actually picked wrong, which, I mean, that's not surprising. But
That goes against your book of the year, but go ahead.
It was Spitfire, which is Jody Fret and Danny Luna against Rosemary and Wendy Chu. I thought Rosemary and Wendy Chu were going to take the titles here, so someone from NXT could have a TNA title. I thought they would do that. They did not. Rosemary turned heel, which was good because she's a much better heel than she is babyface. That gimmick just works better as a heel. Josh Alexander and Steve Maclin. Now, they had a good match, but the finish pissed me off.
Oh.
Now, so it was a 14 and a half minute match, and 14 minutes of it was almost perfect. So they did the zip ties or handcuffs gimmick, and I'm so fed up of that. Like, don't do that anymore. And then Josh Alexander got Steve Maclin in an ankle lock, and Steve Maclin passed out. I didn't realize an ankle lock could make you pass out.
The pain, brother. The pain.
Fuck off. Like, yeah, didn't like that.
It's a bit of a stretch. I mean, I get the pain, and his hands were tied correct, and you can't tap with your face, I guess, because that would look fucking dumb. Was he bleeding? Man. Like, was it stone cold?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you gotta have blood. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't work.
That's a miss.
We then moved on to PCO versus Matt Cardona, which I was ready to shit all over despite liking both of these talents. They had a hell of a fun match. PCO took some brutal bumps, which, I mean, I know that's his thing, but, like, holy shit.
He hasn't slowed down with taking these bumps that are just insane and on the edge of the ring and on the steel steps that are ridiculous. Like, he hasn't slowed down with that at all.
No. And I'm like, when he walked out, I'm like, he can barely move. And then the bell rang and he was going nuts. you know, the Kevin Owens bump where they grab him and do like a snapmare thingy onto the step. Steps.
Oh yeah, yeah, gross.
What they did that, but it was just the bottom two stairs.
Ooh.
It was brutal.
No.
Also, ooh. they pushed thumbtacks into his head. then we had Santana versus Moose, as in Santana from Ortiz and Santana fame. Best Moose match I've ever seen. I'm not really a fan of Moose, but it was very good. And then Masha Slamovich and Jordan Grace. Now, this is the match that made me buy the pay-per-view. And it was fantastic. Women's match of the year without question.
I feel like I saw probably most of the match just on Twitter, because there's a lot of clips of it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it looked fantastic. I don't know if this is going to sound bad or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. One of my favorite things when I'm watching women's wrestling is when I forget that it's women's wrestling. And it's just a wrestling match.
Yep. Yeah, that could have came off way worse, actually. And surprisingly well said.
We're seeing that more and more. I feel like TNA has been like leading that charge for quite a while. Now NXT's women's division is unreal right now, and they're kind of taking over the reins of like the best women's division in pro wrestling. I love seeing it, because then it just adds to just a really great wrestling show instead of, oh, that was a good women's match. You can stop that and just have great matches, it's a huge plus.
These two ladies just beat the shit out of each other for 20 minutes. Highly recommend people going to watch that match. It is fantastic.
I will.
Then we had Nick Nemeth and Joe Hendry, which the least we say about that, the better, because that was a clusterfuck.
Really?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was on my phone.
Oh,
I never do that when I'm watching the show.
Was it a chemistry thing?
The chemistry was off. The storytelling was stupid. The match made no sense. The wrong winner.
Oh.
Bad all round.
So we know what kind of pro wrestler Nick Nemeth / Dolph Ziggler is. The guy can wrestle a broom and put on a 5-star banger. But when he has a match with Joe Hendry, it's not so good. Why do we think that is, guys?
I wonder.
Is it because he's wrestling a catchphrase and a very creative mind? But
it's because he's wrestling LA Knight without the wrestling skills. And
yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Mike, Tom, were you on with us in the summer when we had this conversation? I remember me and Mike kind of going back and forth.
The LA Knight or the Joe Hendry?
The Joe Hendry, where I had said my worry is that Joe Hendry is going to be the next LA Knight, and that's not a compliment because the wrestling and entertainment inside the ring doesn't match up with the entertainment on the mic or on the social media.
I was away, but Joe Hendry is not going to be the next big thing that everybody thinks he is. It is not going to work.
Ooh, that's a bold statement. And so you said the wrong one or one because Nick Namath did win, even with knowing the match wasn't very good. If they'd put that strap on Joe Hendry, does he become like a transitional champion if that's the case? And maybe that's why TNA didn't put the title on him.
So Frankie Kazarian was a special referee in this match.
Oh, right. That's right, too.
But on the pre-show, Frankie Kazarian won TNA's version of Money in the Bank.
Okay.
Mm.
So what a lot of people were expecting and kind of excited for was either there was going to be a moment in the match where Nick and Joe were out and Frankie cashes in and make it a triple threat where he's the referee.
That would have been great.
Or Joe Hendry wins the title, Frankie Kazarian raises his hand, kicks him in the dick, takes the title. Neither of those things happened.
Okay. Interesting.
And we did get the biggest pop of the match was for JBL.
I'm literally watching him crush Kazarian as we speak.
Keep watching because
watch what he does to Ryan Nemeth. Yes. I fucking popped. Yes.
So let's get into John Layfield. I don't think he's using the Bradshaw name right now, but let's get into John Layfield. We talked about him before. He's shown up in TNA before. He's shown up in GCW. I believe there was another independent that he showed up at.
Up in MLW.
Yes, right.
And AAA in Mexico.
Yes. And he's taking out certain people, but he's also not taking out certain people. He's whispering in Nick Nemeth's ear. What? We don't know. Nick won't say. He's, you know, staring down certain people, but then backing off and just letting things be. He's got this Twitter hashtag called, was it the Keeper?
Yeah.
And none of this involves WWE or AEW.
Nope.
As we know right now. But
I believe that we are going to get two matches out of JBL. I think we get one in GCW and one in TNA. And I think the one we get in GCW is in January in the Hammerstein Ballroom, because that's a big room and they need a name to fill it. What wrestling fan does not know JBL, even if they're not a WWE fan? So I think he wrestles in GCW in a tag match. And TNA also have a pay-per-view in January, and I think he wrestles on that too.
Mike, do you like this? Do you like JBL kind of coming in and being, I guess, mysterious cowboy coming in, cleaning house?
I mean, if you're asking if I like JBL, period, the answer is yes. Yes, I do. Bigger payoff, like, yes, he can work those two shows. I think it's a good segue into WWE news, because I do have a sneaky suspicion that the JBL still has ties to the Fed.
He's a Legends contract.
And I think they're clearly picking certain guys.
Is he only helping former WWE talent right now on the independents?
Yes, and I hadn't put that together till right
now. So, if this be the case, this is great seed planting, because you can let this run for a while. And you're right. Everybody wins, right? If it's truly a plan for the Fed, give some light. Give them that GCW match. Give them that TNA match.
And, I mean, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but it's obvious that he's been putting the fucking work in.
Yeah, that one post of him that he took a picture in the gym and saying that the stem cell treatment that he's gotten has helped massively for him to get back in shape and hopefully maybe another match.
But also, what former WWE guy would fit into a GCW style match? Not a death match, but just a hardcore brawl in GCW in the Hammerstein Ballroom more than JBL.
Right? Like, almost. He's come out to help Matt Cardona.
He's come out to help Mance Warner.
Mance Warner.
Who's not an ex-WWE guy, but he is in Matt Cardona's stable.
Okay. Bully Ray was there helping the one time at the one GCW show. Was that the same one as JBL was there too?
No. Bully Ray came out and helped Matt Cardona in the same stable.
Okay.
Bubba's also under a WWE Legends contract.
Yeah,
we might be reaching here, but there might be something to it.
I think that's the fun of it. I think that's what the goal is, if anything.
Get people talking.
If you could bring
and also get eyes on those promotions.
Yep.
Hey, did you hear JBL's in GCW? Hey, did you hear JBL showed up at TNA?
A lot of this feels like it's coming from the mind of Matt Cardona. Matt reinvented himself on the Independents and has done better than he's ever done before. And he seems to come up with some pretty great storylines from what the dirt sheets say in GCW and even in TNA when he's been used there. Could you imagine the Federation running the Independents, JBL, Nick Nemeth, Bully Ray, Matt Cardona, whoever else isn't officially on TV, on WWE TV. And it's the Fed, right? Like, why wouldn't you call them that? And just the Fed is now running the indies.
Could you make it a great push to hear all of those people's music at the Royal Rumble?
Right.
You time it so that stable is in there.
I say you let this build another year and then it's the Rumble in 2026.
And I will also go out, and it's not even going out on a limb, but Matt Cardona is the best thing that ever happened to GCW.
That's the only reason I know about
it. Seems to be the popular statement amongst wrestling fans.
And I remember when they announced that Zack Ryder was going to face Nick Gage in a death match. Everybody laughed. And then the match was fantastic.
He's not afraid to do death matches. He's not afraid to do pretty much anything that GCW has done. So he's the perfect guy for the Independents right now. And it's really
fun. Can't wait for
him
to finish his story when he comes back to the Fed.
Woo, woo, woo.
Well, that's the thing. He says he's not going back to be Zack Ryder.
Well, why would he?
If he goes back, he's Matt Cardona.
I think Hunter would be stupid to say you're coming back as Zack Ryder.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree.
And then we had the main event of Bound for Glory, which was their TLC match where they Jeff Hardy-ified everything and it looked fucking stupid.
It did not look great.
Match was great, but I couldn't get past the stupid little squiggles that were everywhere. But it was a very fun pay-per-view.
I like that. I like the TNA's just putting together really solid shows that are making people say, I want to throw my $30 down to watch this and buy this. So great for them.
Yeah. And then Halloween Havoc was a fun show.
Yeah. Where were they, in Pennsylvania?
Hershey, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and they hyped this show up pretty good.
It didn't live up to the hype, but it was fun.
I haven't watched it. Again, seen clips and listened to radio shows and podcasts with follow-up, and I that seems to be the consensus as well, is there's a lot of promise for, you know, I'm taking you to hell in the main event, and then it was just a pretty generic hardcore match with... Yeah, right? So...
Two matches I would recommend people watch that if they haven't seen it, they are either real fun or a genuinely good match, and that is Obafemi and Tony D'Angelo in the TLC match. Real fun. Nice. And then Julia and Stephanie Vaquer versus Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez was an absolutely fantastic tag team match. Highly recommend.
I'm pretty pumped to watch them. I've got them on the PVR and, of course, on the network. How was the women's North American Championship gauntlet match? I'm seeing a lot of follow, but
awful.
Oof, not good. Oof. Mike, he said it was awful, Mike.
Awful.
So it ended up being a gauntlet match, which I don't like. One of the ladies is not experienced enough to be on a pay-per-view. That's not her fault. She didn't put herself there. People are really pushing for JC Jane to go to the main roster, and I'm pushing for her to be released. Like, Jesus, like, she's fucking awful.
That's so good.
I get it. People probably think she's really hot, but like, she's awful. I really like Fallon. She was good on the indies, okay. But
lost a step.
Yeah. And she was good when she was teaming with Gigi Dolan. But now, yeah. Now she's running the faction. It's not working. Big fan of Fallon Henley, though. So I like that she got the title. I much preferred her when she was a cowboy, but cowgirl.
She's been there for a while too, man. Like, it's about time they've kind of really done something with her. I feel like that's, I like her too, because I've seen that progression of being a complete greenhorn with a generic cowgirl gimmick, and she's worked her way up. And you know me, guys, I like a slow build. I like seeing people earn their stripes. I don't like these, hey, the Motor City Machine Guns are here, let's put the tag titles on them on night two.
I don't like that.
I have, apparently I'm in the minority on this, but fuck.
usually I would be with you, but it's the Machine Guns. They're not some brand new tag team. They're tag team legends. Just
they. But I don't have to wait now to see that big moment. That big moment's already happened. Wait, I'm gonna pop because now they're 2-time WWE tag team champions.
Yeah, but we might get the Machine Guns versus the Usos, and that's fun.
I mean, sure, that's great. But I would rather have seen them try to fight the Usos for the tag team titles at some point to win it. Who did they beat? Who was the tag team champions? The Tongans.
Yeah, right? Tama and Tonga.
Yeah, exactly. They're mixed in with Bloodline stuff, so there's no storyline there. If the tag titles were on fucking what's his nuts and the other guy,
helpful.
The Australian. Really?
Austin Theory and Grayson Waller.
You know, then you've got something there because they're really big heels that aren't doing anything. If it were against DIY, it wouldn't have been good because nobody cares about DIY at all. So you give me this tournament, quote air quotes there, that lasts a week, and then you're just putting the titles on the new guys. I'm never a fan of that. I'm just not, unless it's super. Like, if somebody comes in looking like Brock Lesnar and just grabs you a mid-card title right away, then awesome. But other than that, I don't think.
For the point, though, like, story, you can't always have they accomplish the childhood dream. Like, they need to keep things moving in order for bigger picture stuff.
Ah, man, what's the bigger picture now? The biggest picture was them winning the titles. They're finally in WWE after 27 years.
I think you're looking at it's like that's relevant. They can start new with the story of them having the titles. You can build from them having the titles, but getting them off Bloodline was the important part.
They did need to come off the blood.
That's a good call.
Like that's the part of the story where they're just like, we need these off. The new guys, we can find something to work with here.
Yeah.
Like you basically can take chances, right? They're like, hey, let's see if we like them as champions or not. Like, instead of waiting, like, everyone wants somebody to be the champion. You're holding on fucking Sami Zayn forever to be some kind of world heavyweight champion, which he never should be.
Never
the underdog from the underground. From the underground.
You're banned.
That's not even been his gimmick for nearly a decade now.
Exactly.
He's still that guy. You put him up against anybody, anybody's bigger and has bigger stature.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Oh, God. This is because he's a ginger, and normally I'm on board, but not this time.
You're banned. You're banned.
Not against. What's next? Just fucking talk about what's next.
One last point on Halloween Havoc before we move on. I think Zariah, formerly known as Delta, is going to be a fucking huge star.
So excited to see her, because she got physical in the ring, didn't she?
She a little bit, just a little.
And then on spears or what?
It's the only way to be physical.
I love her look. I like the gimmick. The name change didn't even bother me that much. I'm excited for what they do with her.
Can't wait to see. Can't wait to see. Check out NXT this week and follow up with us on the old socials at In My House Pod. Let us know what you thought of Halloween Havoc and Bound for Glory as well, if you watched it. And anything else. Hey, let's just talk pro wrestling on the socials. What the? Yeah,
try not to have a stroke.
That's a struggle. God.
I'm battling it today, boys. I'm battling it, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Before we get to Crown Jewel.
Oh,
holy shit. Sorry to cut you off, but I've just seen on Twitter. Edge just donated $10,000 to Chris Bay's GoFundMe.
Wow.
That's fucking awesome.
That's awesome, but we should jump into why that happened on the TNA tapings after Bound for Glory. Are they still called the Bullet Club? Chris Bay and
They're ABC and TNA.
Okay, ABC. Tag match with the Hardy Boys for the tag titles in TNA. An injury incident happened with Chris Bay where he had to be carted off. It sounds like a neck injury, and that's all we know. We don't know much more. Now, me being a human being, when I start seeing GoFundMes going up and basically every wrestler on the planet tweeting out, you know, send your thoughts and prayers to Chris Bay and his family, please give to GoFundMe if you're able to help support Chris. That worries me that this is really bad.
Well,
there's no confirmation, nothing, but I'm just saying, for me, that worries me that this is really bad.
But also, did you see El Fantasmo's statement?
So yes,
El Fantasmo announces he has cancer, and then he's like, don't worry about me, worry about Chris Bay,
man.
Like, and I mean, I know there's no chance he's going to hear this, but El Fantasmo meant a lot to me in my time going to shows in Rev Pro, and we talked all the time. So to hear that he's sick, that got to me this morning. So sending you best wishes, my friend, and you're going to kick it fast.
All the best vibes to El Fantasmo and Chris Bay, because that's tough news. That's tough news, and I'm worried. I really am worried that it could be like a Big E situation or worse for Chris Bay when it comes to neck injury. So we'll keep you updated on that, or just look at your social media. They'll do the same as well. That's sad. But great on Adam Copeland and the Copeland family for sending out a big, big donation to Chris Bay's GoFundMe. If you can afford to do it, head over there as well and send some financial aid to Chris Bay and his family. Before we get into our Crown Jewel picks, I was going to throw Mike a curveball and see if he had that WWE statement of their announcement today. WWE came out and announced a new independent wrestling venture. I don't know if that's the right term, but basically it's like a developmental program for independents. So they're teaming up with Booker T's Reality of Wrestling, Seth Rollins, Brave and Black, or Black and Brave
Academy.
Okay. Yeah. And the Nightmare Factory, which is owned and ran by your world heavyweight champion, Cody Rhodes, WWE champion, undisputed.
Elite Pro Wrestling Training Center as well. Knox Pro Academy in LA.
So based on just the small amount that I read on this announcement, they're going to be providing some funding, I believe, to these wrestling academies to provide more training and better training. So these smaller independents or these wrestling schools can get wrestlers trained the right way. And then if they so choose, I'm sure they can go to NXT or to TNA or wherever they want in the world after they leave one of these schools or wrestling companies and go from there.
Hunter nailed it with like the line he had sent out there. WWE ID is the latest in our efforts to identify and support the journey of up and coming wrestlers, in turn raising the profile of and strengthening the independent wrestling ecosystem. Calm down, indie marks. Holy fucking shit. You can't put a PC everywhere. That costs a lot of money. Why not give money to existing schools? a lot easier. But you got people on the internet being like, they're going to fucking kill everything. You're like, no. I think this is a good thing. I think this is light on smaller promotions. I think there's a lot of wins for people who are trying to promote wrestling outside of big companies.
But did you notice something that I found very interesting today when this came out? The people that were shitting themselves about this were the fans. The wrestlers are like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, like, great.
It's such a better support system for the business. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, a few years ago, when the WWE announced that this big initiative to go after like Division I athletes, D1 athletes in the United States too, that don't have any wrestling experience at all, and scout them, bring them into the wrestling business and train them the way they want them to be trained, there was some backlash because in a way they basically roundabout way said, we're not getting independent wrestlers anymore. We're going to build our own WWE superstars. And there was a lot of, I hated it because when you looked at NXT, the original version, when it boomed, NXT was full. It was Ring of Honor just with money. Like, let's be honest, they cherry picked a lot of the top guys from the independents and made NXT awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you get NXT 2.0, which is basically full of these Division I athletes with no wrestling history, knowledge, or training at all, except for at the PC. And we went through a few rough years. Hunter is now taking that and running with it, but now he's also adding an initiative to help independent wrestlers and independent wrestling. And sure, maybe on paper for non-WWE fans, it looks bad because a good majority of those schools are owned by WWE wrestlers and Hall of Famers. But why not work with what you know and with what you can trust and then build from there? It's a great initiative. If AEW would done it or TNA had done it, I would have said it's a great initiative. And maybe they're already doing that and they just didn't put out a press release. But it can't be bad for the business at all. You're putting money back into development of pro wrestling at an independent level. That's a win all around.
Is your passion wrestling? If you're a wrestler who wants to be a wrestler, this is great news. If you were a Division I athlete who fucked up and hurt themselves and could not play football anymore, you had the backup plan, and sometimes you just come out to be a goddamn turd and you're not passionate. You look at the check and you're like, I've got the size. Mm-mm. Ain't Vince's era anymore. Having some fucking talent is going to matter. So good. Put them into the schools where they're going to teach them how to wrestle. I think everyone assumes it's just like, they're going to teach them the WWE style. I'm like, got to imagine Booker T is teaching them the WWE style at that school.
Yeah, exactly. Cody Rhodes, same thing. Seth Rollins, same thing. Maybe Seth and Cody will have more of a middle ground, other right?
Places. Exactly.
So just be happy about it. And if you don't like it, don't fucking go to that school. What do you want me to do? guys, we got like 2 minutes. And we've got a pay-per-view this weekend, a premium live event, WWE Crown Jewel.
Quickfire picks.
Here we go.
Quickfire picks. What do we got, Mike?
The triple threat match for the United States Championship. The who gives a fuck about LA Knight match. Andrade, Carmelo Hayes, and LA Knight. Who do we got? I'm taking Carmelo Hayes.
I'm taking Andrade.
I'm taking LA Knight.
Oh, I like this. Good, 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 good. The Fatal 4-Way Women's Tag Team Championship. So Io Sky, Kairi Sane, Chelsea Green, and Piper Niven. Who do we got?
Lash Takara Legend, Jackson. Takara Jackson.
Yeah, Lash Legend, yep. And then, you know.
Bianca and Jade, who are my pick.
They're going to retain. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going retaining as well.
Tough one coming up next. Seth Rollins versus Bronson Reed.
Bronson Reed. Better fucking win this match.
Is that your pick?
Yes.
My pick is Seth Rollins.
You motherfucker.
I know. I think Bronson should have the win. I really do. But I think the fire coming off Seth's victory in this is good to get back in like a championship picture.
Don't make me ban you.
I know. I don't want to get banned. I see why you'd pick Bronson, but I'm going Seth Rollins.
Fuck it. I'm already banned. I'm going Seth. I'm already banned, so fuck it, right?
Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
Gotta be Kevin.
It's gotta be Kevin.
I'm gonna go Kevin too, but I have a feeling there could be a disqualification to get Randy to win, but we're all gonna go KO.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Women's Crown Jewel Championship. Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax. Sweet fucking Christ. Like, this is going to suck. This is going to suck so bad.
Nia, I think, is my pick.
I'm going Nia.
I think Nia's got it, too.
She can run with that gimmick better right now, I think.
Yeah.
And then the Men's Crown Jewel Championship.
Gunther.
Oof. I'm going Cody. I don't even hesitate on this. I'm going Cody Rhodes.
I'm gonna get myself banned.
You motherfucker.
I'm also going Cody.
Whoa!
I think the Saudis are making it that the song is gonna go over.
Well, I'm only going Gunther because I don't think both Crown Jewel titles are going to the same show. So if Nia wins, Gunther has to win.
I'm not thinking about that. That's a very good point that I did not think about, but that's the way I'm going.
I'm going. Belt is bigger than... I mean, I will be very happy if Gunther gets the win, but for my picks in Booker of the Year, I'm taking Cody.
Belt's bigger than Liv Morgan.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. guys, we are fresh out of time. This has been a whirlwind episode of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Again, follow us on our socials at In My House Pod. Guys, great job.
Great job, UK Tom. You carried this show. You have a very supportive fun fact.
I talked way too much, so sorry.
No, this is a great UK Tom episode. I think I like that. I asked a very good questions to Tom, but anyway, that's not.
You're banned. You're banned.
Then you end the show.
Well, thanks for listening to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
We already had to start it. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.